Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom. I'm glad that we're back to the usual routine this week rather than last week's upside down beginning. So that was much easier, thank you.
It just didn't feel right, did it? There was just something off.
I know. So I listened to it and I thought, no, that just isn't right. You know, come on, let's get back to the traditional. And today we have. So thank you for that. That's much better. Wonderful. And it's Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, good on Ash.
Have you put ashes on your forehead yet?
Well, it's an interesting little thing. I've been to one church service on Ash Wednesday, and not in the Salvation Army or Baptist. I think it must have been an Anglican church I went to. And it's interesting because they burn the palm crosses from the previous year in order to get the ashes to put on your head this year. I think I'm sure that was how it happened, so that's really interesting, isn't it? You know, wow. So the ashes are the palm crosses from the previous year. I mean, other people,
so
might,
that's incredible. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I'm sure that was right. Yeah. And yeah, so that's fascinating in itself. I'm not quite sure the significance of it at the moment, but yeah, so we've just had Shrove Tuesday, which was yesterday. So I hope your pancakes went well, whatever you had in. We have had some debate about the right type of filling, so it's been interesting to hear some of that from you. But I hope that you managed to enjoy it. And my cherries and ice cream were very, very delicious. You know why I first got to like that? In the old days, some people listening might remember Little Chefs. Do you remember Little Chefs?
I remember a Little Chef, Tim. Come on.
So we were travelling somewhere. And Little Chef used to do what they called Jubilee pancakes. And this Jubilee pancake was cherries and vanilla ice cream. And that was the very first time I had it, years and years ago. And ever since, that has been my favourite pancake. Isn't that amazing?
And Jubilee I presume you had the Jubilee pancakes after an Olympic breakfast.
Oh, of course. You couldn't, you had to have an Olympic breakfast. Little Chef still around? They're not around now, are they?
Heston Blumenthal tried to save them, but I think from memory there's one left in the UK because they get some tax break if they have one open or something. So they're all gone. They've been taken over by Subways and Burger Kings and all sorts, which I think people could possibly argue are a more 21st century choice. But a Little Chef, you knew what you were getting. You knew you'd get an okay meal. You'd get a lollipop at the end, and they were just always there. They were welcoming.
And when we lived in the northeast of England, there was a great one on the A1, actually, just at a nice stopping point before the last couple of hours to get to where we lived. So it was, that was always a very lovely place to stop. But hey, now motorway service stations are like airport terminals now, aren't they, with Smiths and Costas and Starbucks and Waitrose and you name it. You can get it.
I maintain that the best services used to be on the way to Soul Survivor, and we would always stop at it for a particular reason, that it had both a Pizza Hut and a McDonald's. So you were sorted whatever you wanted, and it was just the best. That's Strensham services. Unfortunately, Pizza Hut is long gone from service stations, but the McDonald's still remains. And we up until we moved to go to Stafford and Peterborough Soul Survivors, we made sure to stop at Strensham on the way up generally. We didn't really stop on the way down because at that point you just have got full energy to go all the way there. No stops, no toilet breaks or anything. But the way back, you've got to have your McDonald's before you come home. It's the perfect time. Yeah, it's about lunchtime. You've got to have your chicken nuggets and your burger. And which reminds me of more restaurants that have gone. We can come back to Soul Survivor in a moment, but Wimpy
yes.
Burgers.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
they're also something that I think there's one or two left in the country now. There used to be one over in Cannock Chase, like next to the edge of it. That's the only one I've ever been to or remember going to, but it's another kind of forgotten restaurant that served a great purpose. Maybe that's something. What restaurants do you miss were around before and have come back? You can contact us. Of course, feel free to contact us about anything else.
Of course,
apart from what restaurants you miss, but there will be things. We stopped at an ice cream parlor on the way to Soul Survivor last year.
You were telling me about this great ice cream shop locally as well. What's the name? Can we advertise the great ice cream shop?
Yes, because it's the best ice cream shop I think there is. Snuggery's. And yeah. Anyone that says Cadwallader's is better, fight me. No, don't fight me. But Snuggery's is fantastic. Snuggery's. And they have a wonderful Snuggery's.
Oh, so, Snuggery's, okay.
Yeah, there you go, Snuggery's.
I've still got so much to explore in this this beautiful part of England, haven't I? And so many amazing places that I'm looking forward to at some point in the future.
I was going to say,
being able to go and explore them.
As we keep saying, every single week that goes by, you're 1 week closer to visiting all of these places.
I'm so blessed here. You know, I had a walk along the canal today, and it is beautiful along the canal here, the Trent and Mersey, near where we live, and it's beautiful down towards Wedgwood and around there, which is lovely. But I just thought this morning, I'd love to go to a different place to have a walk. And I will, of course, one day when we can drive to somewhere to walk, then we'll definitely do that. But anyway, maybe lockdown's a good time for Lent, although no, it's not, because lockdown's not a good time for anything. And today, being Ash Wednesday, is the beginning of Lent, a season in the Christian calendar of 46 days before Easter. So, 46, you say? I thought Lent was 40 days. Well, interestingly, they don't count Sundays in the Lenten period because they are feast days still in the Christian calendar, which is a bit of an anomaly if you're giving up chocolate for Lent when you can eat all you want on a Sunday. Is that how it works?
I think this is part of why I've always struggled, and I guess I've known people that have done Lent, but they've taken this time off. And I'm there thinking, is that really how it should work? And I guess when I think about why we celebrate 40 days, well, I say celebrate, why we take 40 days, or as it turns out, 46 days, in remembering what Jesus went through when he went into the desert at the start of his ministry. People often think it's in the run-up to Easter. It wasn't, actually. It was at the very beginning of his ministry. But during that period of time, Jesus himself went away from various different things. Of course, he was sustained through the bare minimum that there is to survive. And for us, whilst we're perhaps not called to do that, there are some people who are, which both hats off to them, and also I have a lot of respect for people who are called to do things like fasting as a sign of their response to what God's calling them to do. But I think for me, I ended up thinking, it's just strange. It's strange to kind of do 6 days. Let's do 6 days of being really good, and then having one day when I can gorge on as much chocolate. It just seems to not be, not quite be the way that, it doesn't seem in the, you know, we keep talking about all the rules of lockdown. It doesn't seem in the spirit of what Lent is all about. So I think for me, I know I have got something I'm giving up this year. And for me, it won't be a case where Sunday is a feast day. I'll be going the full 46 days of cutting out sugared drinks. You might think it's a trivial thing. And of course, in this day and age, it's a very easy thing to avoid having. There's so many good diet options. But actually, you'd be amazed at what that means I can't have as well. And it's for someone like me who loves fizzy drinks of all sorts of things, it is actually going to be something that I will miss. And I will look forward to having a Coca-Cola in a few months' time.
And it is a discipline, which is the point, really, isn't it? It is a discipline, and a disciplined life, you know, is the Christian life. You know, the word discipline, the word disciple are very close together, aren't they? You know, and clearly, you know, a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, to get our motto text into this, you know, to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, to be a disciple. Jesus said, follow me. And I guess Lent is part of that walk of obedience that Jesus is inviting us to. And I've always seen Lent as being a response out of obedience to what he's saying, rather than, you know, being forced to do something or forced to not do something. So I'd want everybody, just to consider, you know, what is it, you know, God is sort of inviting me into during this time of Lent, and how can this period be something that God can use to shape me, you know, more into the likeness of Jesus. What does that look like? And for some of us, it is about stopping and giving up something. And sometimes it's giving up something that we enjoy, but also it's something, sometimes it's stopping you know, choosing to break a habit or to break an addiction, even let's say, and actually to say, no, I'm going to use this period of time to stop being addicted in the widest sense to this particular thing. Yeah, maybe it's about, you know, social media, maybe it's about internet, maybe it's about TV, maybe it's about something else, you know, but whatever it is, it's not because someone else has told you to do it, it's because this is what you sense God is calling you to. And I think that Lent then becomes a really a way when we can open ourselves up to more of God. And that's what I want to encourage everybody to do. So if you haven't thought about this period of Lent, then what could you do or stop doing that will open you up to more of what God wants to do in your life at the moment? So for me, for the last few years, I've taken part in 40 Acts of Kindness run by Stewardship. So every day they would send you a little email or pop up to say, try and do this today. Do you know? So it was about doing something active. So a kindness, you know, helping somebody, you know, contacting somebody, etc. There was 40 different things. Now they're not doing that this year. They're having a break from it this year. But that doesn't stop you trying to do something for 40 days as well. So something very proactive about that. So this year, I received a parcel in the post the other day. It was a massive surprise. And I really had no idea because I hadn't ordered anything, nor had anybody else. And as I opened it, it was a gift from the Heart of England Baptist Association, which was really, really kind of them. And it was a book and a bar of Bourneville chocolate, which was really, really, really nice. And a bit of artwork from Chris Duffett, who is a Baptist minister, who is also an artist as well. And the book in it, it was called The Sound of Life's Unspeakable Beauty by a gentleman called Martin Schlesk. And it's been translated, so I don't know what nationality he was. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna read this. It's not a book that I would buy necessarily, I don't think. I've never even heard of it, to be honest. But I thought maybe I need to read through this book as my discipline. And it's trying to find beauty in other things, really, in terms of the things around us, in terms of music and art and creation and everything like that. So that's going to push me out of my comfort zone a little bit this time. But I thought, hey, you know what? I need to be pushed out a little bit now and again and to do something different. So, yeah, so that's what I'm going to do anyway. And let's see what God wants to say to me. And maybe I'll let you know through podcasts in the future what I'm learning through that as well.
That sounds fantastic. And of course, in terms of books, this is a nice little segue, isn't it?
Yes.
In terms of books, we're starting at church for the first time, I think, in a very, very long time. Although we probably do it with the Bible most weeks normally, don't we? We're going to be reading a book together. And many of you will have received emails explaining bits of it. I don't think, me and Tim before this were saying, we're not sure we've done the best job of explaining what we're going to be doing. So we're going to use this now as an opportunity to just share with you what we're going to do as a church over the next 6 weeks. It's a book that I read way back last year called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by a man called John Mark Comer. And it came out just before, I guess it gained popularity just before the pandemic as church leaders recognised this need to pause and unhurry their lives that have become so hectic. And then, well, a global pandemic came along and flipped everything on its head. And I guess for that reason, this book became even more important for many, many church leaders. And across the country, churches have been participating in what's called the Big Church Read. And we are going to go through that as a church ourselves. And how it's going to look is on Sunday mornings, we're going to be preaching and sharing ideas from the book, kind of fleshed out into a sermon series, looking at how we can live differently and live in the way that Jesus calls us to. And so week one, I'm going to be opening up both books, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry and the Bible, to talk about the problem that we have in our world. And I guess if you are feeling like your life isn't very hurried, then I'd urge you to stay tuned in, because we're going to discover that this series is not just about unhurrying our lives, but it's about how to stay emotionally healthy and spiritually alive in the chaos of the modern world. And I think we can all agree that right now our world is chaotic. It's possible you're living in a lovely little bubble, but around you, the world is a chaotic and at times crazy place. And so we're going to be exploring what it means for us to follow in Jesus's footsteps over the next 6 weeks. And to kind of go deeper, we're going to be holding, it is kind of a book club, isn't it? It's under the NBC Explore banner, yeah. But we are holding a book club that will be happening on Tuesday evenings at 7:30. And we'll be going through parts of the book together, and we'll be watching a short video from the author, John Mark Comer, who invites us to explore and open up both the books and the Bible, and to think about some of the big questions that come out of reading it. And we're really looking forward to being able to explore things together. It would be helpful if you had a copy of the book, but if you aren't able to get one or you don't get one in time, then don't worry. Please just still do come along, and we'll guide you through as best we can what we're wanting to explore. And of course, if you haven't got a copy of the book and for whatever reason you aren't able to get one, get in touch with us. We'd love to find one to pass on to you if you're struggling to get hold of one right now. All of those things, you can email us on inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk, and we'd love to make sure that everyone who wants to join in with that is able to.
It's an interesting word, this hurry, and I think as we go through this book together, and I've read the book as well earlier this year, and I think we need to be aware, even if we don't feel that we're hurrying, I think that most of us are, one way or another, that the urgency of what's around us actually grabs hold of our attention very easily. Whether it's people demanding our attention, or maybe in the workplace, whether it's our boss, you know, demanding certain deadlines, whether it's the call of our kids, or you know, on the other end of the scale, elderly parents and their needs as well, and we can easily get into, you know, a very hurry situation. You know, alerts on your phone. How many times does your phone beep, and how often do you pick it up? You know, do you pick it up after every beep? You know, so I think there are symptoms out there that sometimes we don't recognise, but actually, if we just stopped for a moment, and I think this is what this book is going to help us to do. And it's not a call to inactivity, you know, it's not an unrealistic book. You know, this is a book, you know, set in our modern world, not looking at some idealistic situation that used to happen, you know, 100 years ago. I mean, people were in a hurry 100 years ago. Life was awful, wasn't it, 100 years ago? Yeah, well, not awful, but you know, it was tough, you know. God dear, 1920s into the 30s. So this is, I think it is a book for our time, as you said, Tom, very, very clearly. And I think, and you know, after we've set out the problem and the solution, the last 4 weeks of our 6 weeks are looking at spiritual disciplines, the things that can help us to unhurry. Not to deny what's going on, but to enable us to live as followers of Jesus in this chaotic world, using some ancient disciplines that are grounded in the life of Jesus. And so for that alone, I think it's going to be such a refreshing series, and one that will just help us to get some great tools to live this worthy life. And, you know, I hope that you'll engage with it in some way. Sundays and Tuesdays, if you can. Read the book, if you can. And I think there's a lot to learn for all of us as we move into this next season, whatever that looks like, post-Easter season. We're ready for what God wants to do next.
It's what Lent is all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It perfectly fits with the ideas that we're talking about in terms of what Lent means. Lent is an opportunity for us to think about what we need to either take away or add into our lives to draw us closer to God and to see what he wants us to be doing in our lives. And that's what we're doing. I think the title of the book has been a bit of a difficult one for some people. I think when people see the ruthless elimination of hurry, I think people have got perhaps the wrong end of the stick about what we're actually going to be doing. It's not a series of how to unhurry. It's more a series on how to draw closer to God. And that's what we want to do. Everything that we do here at NBC should be doing that. And I guess this is just a more direct way of us approaching it by just saying, how can we do that right now in our world with everything that's going on? So we're looking, I'm really looking forward to opening up on Sunday to you. And I think over the next 5 weeks after that, we've got some cracking speakers lined up who are going to be opening up various disciplines. And and then there's you, Tim. I think you're doing one or two weeks, you know, aren't you? So.
I'm sorry. The poor you have with you always. But,
that's a bad joke.
Thank you.
That's a bad
joke. No, it's well deserved. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it's going to be good. And I hope, but as Tom said, if we can help in any way with sourcing the information for you, we'll look forward to a conversation that will help all of us. And this is the great thing about getting together in a group. You know, that's what I've really, really enjoyed. I know Zoom isn't the it's not the perfect tool for small groups, but I think I've so enjoyed learning from other people. When we did Ruth last year, we've done Ezekiel this year, the last one tonight. I've just so much to gain from people's insight. You know, everybody has an insight into the text, because we're all coming with our own experiences, a background, a knowledge, you know, and so I'm so enriched every time, you know, I sit in a Zoom room with people and we chat about, you know, the text and the issues, and brilliant. Yeah. So please don't be afraid of getting involved. And we'd love to have your voice in this ongoing conversation. And maybe this is a great time, if you haven't linked in before, to actually step into the room, the Zoom room. There used to be a song we sang as kids. Well, no, not as kids. I used to sing it with the kids. I'm going to zoom, zoom, zoom around the room, room, room. Do you know that one? I don't know if it's Doug Hawley or Captain Allen or somebody. I'm going to zoom, zoom, zoom around
that mustn't
the
have
room,
got,
room.
That mustn't have got to the Gospel Halls the room, room. Circuit.
So there we Sounds go, fun. You see. Sounds what fun. A if you... prophetic song for our day now, to zoom around the room. We used to do that in schools with kids
all of the
in
words,
assembly.
Then...
The teachers used to hate us because we'd hype all the kids up just ready to go back in the classroom. That was the whole point of school assemblies, in my opinion. But and then we'd go, brilliant. Anyway,
I think the last assembly that I... Yeah, no, the last assembly that I did pre not being allowed into schools, the teachers said, just, you know, make sure you don't hype them up too much before you go. And I was like, that's fine, I'll manage it. So clearly the same thing that applied however many years ago applies still today. As we come to the end of our podcast today, we want to do what we've done nearly every week. I'll say nearly every week. There have been some weeks when we've obviously gone off tangent and prayed over a different specific thing. But as we do most weeks, we want to pray together with hundreds of countries around the world using the resources provided by Unite 714. And this week, the prayers that are coming from them that they're encouraging churches to pray all across the world are based out of John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. And this is what the Bible has to say to us. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Self-quarantined, behind locked doors under their fear of death, the disciples were unlikely candidates for one of the greatest revivals in human history. This revival would sweep through Jerusalem and travel to every city in the Roman Empire. We find ourselves in a similar place today. Like the disciples, we are battling fear and despair as we are distanced and quarantined in cities around the world. Yet, the same Jesus who walked through walls 2,000 years ago is even now walking through the walls of our lockdown today. He has come to revive our faith and strengthen our resolve for the battles ahead. His words have not changed. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Lord, we are thankful that even in those cities where church buildings are locked up, it is impossible to lock you out. There's no physical, emotional, spiritual, or mental barrier that your loving power cannot penetrate. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, fill us today with your peace. Send us afresh into the harvest fields with the passion of your love and the power of your Spirit. Bring us up out of the mire and into your mission. We pray, for we are standing at the dawn of a brand new day.
Lord, we have fought for breath month after month. For some of us, it has been physical, but for others, it has been social, ethnic, and economic. When you walked into the lockdown lives of your disciples, you didn't come with mere words. You breathed your very spirit into them. We are so thankful. We too are desperate for fresh breath, and you are our only hope. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. Breathe on us, we pray. Refresh our spirits and ignite our faith. Revive your church through a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, which will shatter the gates of hell and transform our nations. Drive back COVID through the blast of your breath and heal our broken land. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Tom. That was a very enjoyable conversation. And hey, there may be some people listening as well.
Next week, we have got a very, very special guest who's coming to join us. MP for Newcastle under Lyme, Aaron Bell, has very kindly given up about half an hour of his time to come and have a chat with us. We promise you it's not going to be very political. It's going to be mostly about our town and Newcastle under Lyme. And so it's our privilege to welcome him to our podcast. That'll be released next Wednesday morning in the early hours of the morning for you to listen to at any point. And if you can't stand politics, don't worry. This is going to be perfect for you. You're going to be able to listen along and enjoy it, I can assure you. And if you love politics, then perhaps it won't be quite what you're after, I guess. We're not going to be diving into political things. We're focused on his role in our community, because actually, with everything that's going on, it's really important for us to stay connected to what's going on in the wider area. So that's going to be next Wednesday morning, and you're going to be able to listen through any of your usual providers. And Tim and me, we're both delighted to be able to bring Aaron onto our Newcastle Baptist Church podcast.
Yeah, don't miss it. Well worth hearing.
Wonderful. Have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you at anything that's coming up, whether it's tonight for Bible study, tomorrow for Alpha, or the weekend for kids, adult church, anything else. We are so delighted that you're staying connected to us. God bless. We'll see you soon.
God bless you. Bye-bye.